Thanks very much, Ed, and good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us, and good afternoon for those of you who are on the line joining us from Europe. My name, as Ed said, is Bliss Baker, and I am the president of the Global Renewable Fuels Alliance. I represent an international federation of organizations representing over 60% of the world's biofuel production from 30 different countries. I'm joined today, as Ed said, by Don O'Connor. He is president of a research firm called S&T Squared, based in Vancouver, Canada. Mr. O'Connor is a well-recognized expert in the field of biofuels, particularly with respect to greenhouse gas modeling. Mr. O'Connor has developed what I believe is one of the most dynamic and effective tools in the world for measuring greenhouse gas reductions for transportation fuels, which is called GH Genius. We're here today because Mr. O'Connor has recently completed a groundbreaking study for the International Energy Agency Task 39. This groundbreaking study looked at greenhouse gas reductions from grain ethanol from 1995 projected out to 2015, and I'm happy to say that the report found some very, very compelling results. And without further ado, I'd like to turn it over now to Don O'Connor for his very brief remarks, and then we're both certainly available to take some questions. So over to you, Don.
Well, thank you very much, Bliss. I'd just like to say that this was a very interesting assignment, and I'd like to thank the people at the IEA Bioenergy Task 39 for choosing me to do the work. I think that what the study has documented and quantified is the importance of time in life cycle assessment work. And when you go through the literature, you will find that this issue in general has been overlooked by people, but really it shouldn't have been, because we know from other work, not around greenhouse gases or life cycle assessment, but we know that there's a whole body of knowledge out there with respect to experience curves and how almost any activity has a tendency to improve over time. I think that when you look through the results in the report, you find that wasn't in just one area where we had significant improvements, but we find that both in terms of feedstock production, whether it's inputs or outputs, or whether it's the ethanol plant energy use itself, but there has been, in all of those different areas, there was a significant improvement, continuous improvement over time. And I think that one of the things that happens when you look forward to 2015 is there's potential for further gains in all aspects. So there is no evidence that this rate of improvement is changing significantly or slowing down in terms of feedstock production or conversion into ethanol. And so finally, you know, in the report, I forecast sort of what the average of the industry might be through to 2015, using experience curves and extending the trends that we see. But I also looked at some interesting scenarios, how in certain circumstances one might be able to do, design grain ethanol plants that are essentially greenhouse gas emissions free, with the application of things like bioenergy and or carbon capture and storage, which is actually being planned for a couple of facilities in the United States right now. So that's a very brief overview of the study, and I'd be pleased to answer any questions that you might have about the work.
Let me just add one thing, Don. From our industry's perspective, I think the report drove two very, very important conclusions. Number one, the report concluded pretty unequivocally that ethanol is continually getting greener and gasoline continues to get dirtier. That is an unequivocal conclusion of this report. And secondly, I think the report serves as a pretty stark warning to policymakers that they should not base their policy formulations on looking in the rearview mirror. These are two things that are quite unique from this report and unequivocal.